You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
The Photo Bomb Podcast, where two narcissists record their conversations and then make their kids listen to it.
Is that going to be our new title for the show? You're going to go with that?
I've been working for years on a good subhead. What did you think of that? Is that no good?
I think it still needs a little work.
Okay.
All right. It's a 78. If it had a better title, it could merit.
I appreciate the feedback there. So I'll get back to it and work on it. But anyway, so how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Very little sleep in the Perry household. The new puppy, much like a new baby, was sick all last night. Unlike a baby, great thing about a puppy is puppy throws up, then eats the throw up. So you don't have to, there's no cleanup with the puppy when the puppy is throwing up all night long, unlike the baby. So this is a convenience that you get with puppies that you don't get with babies.
You can't beat that kind of service.
No, you can't really beat that. But that's been going on all night. And then last week we were at the emergency room because the puppy ate another sock. So we had to, and I mean, this puppy inhaled this sock with such furious speed. It was impressive to watch. So it's like a whole sock hanging out, and then you're like, give me that sock, and then gone.
Like a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah, exactly. Gone. And you're just like, how did you even do that? I couldn't have eaten that sock.
No.
How did you possibly eat that sock?
I don't know. Yeah.
So we had to go, and I discovered something I didn't know, that there is a shot you can give a dog, and the dog will start throwing up. And then when you're done with that, you give them another shot, and they stop.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't work on humans. They don't have that for humans, I don't think. But she said, yeah, but for dogs, there is a shot. You just give them the shot, and...
What is it, Jägermeister? Because Jägermeister usually makes me throw up.
Not that kind of shot.
Oh, no.
It's Fireball.
Fireball. Fireball. All
right. I was at a bar last night, and they had like a Fireball dispenser with two Fireball bottles to dispense the shots,
yeah.
You know, like an icy machine. And I thought, are you pouring so many Fireball shots that you need a whole... That just
yes.
turning the bottle
yes.
up over a glass, too much work. I
yes.
need to have the little...
Well, it also chills it, too, as well. So it's a chilled
spigot.
Shot of Fireball.
Okay, yeah. Well, there now we're on this. They had that right next to the Jägermeister shot dispenser. And I thought, this is just the 1-2 punch of alcoholic despair.
This is the corner of bad decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
No amazing night has ever started out with, dude, let's do Fireball shots. And usually it ends up with you and your buddy laying on a street somewhere, and then you're gonna be so drunk and piss everybody off around you, but then you're gonna talk about it for years like it was some legendary epic night where all you really did was get stupid in a bar, hit on some chicks, and then throw up in the street, and you're like, we're legends. Yeah,
I like that you would be getting a tour of the bar, and you would say, and if you'll come this way, we'll show you the altar of bad decisions. And there's just like, yeah, there's like a curtain and a light shining on the Fireball and the Jägermeister dispenser right next to each other.
With a framed portrait of Louis C.K. over it, like just the portrait of bad decisions.
Funny you should mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Because just down the street from my house, there's this comedy club called Side Splitters that's like in a strip center behind the Whole Foods. And I always forget it's there because we have an improv downtown. But up here at my neck of the woods, which is just short of cow country, there's this little place called Side Splitters, you know, and I always assume it's horrible comedians or whatever that are there. Guess who's playing there next week?
Louis C.K. Wow, he is doing the low level stuff right now. I mean, you can't have what he did come back on you and then jump right back into
it. No pun intended.
Got him.
You don't want to have what he did come back on you.
Boo Ray Perry going hard in the paint with the dirty jokes. Nicely done.
Oh, you don't want that to come back on you.
No, you definitely don't.
So yeah, $30 a ticket, dude.
That's cheap for Louis C.K.
To see Louis C.K. in a club the size of my house.
I'd go in a heartbeat. I'm not afraid.
Good luck. Sold out.
No doubt. That's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. So obviously, I don't believe that you should ever sexually assault or expose yourself or make any sexual advances on somebody who's unwilling. You should just not do that stuff.
Just be nice.
I've been able to go my entire life without accidentally, you know, pulling my junk out in front of someone. Yes. So, like, it's not that hard to not assault women.
Your whole life?
Yeah. Well, nobody who didn't ask for it.
Okay.
But see, here, the thing is, I'm like, I saw this article, and it was, I forget, there was a bunch of different articles about this comedy routine that he did in Long Island at this club. He's been playing these small clubs in New York, and basically it was, they took his stand-up routine and published it like it was an editorial, like these are things that he's saying. And I said, I don't know if you followed this guy's career for the last 20 years, but his jokes are always like this. He has always been this blue. He's always written controversial jokes, you know? And like, he's got a whole bit about, well, never mind, won't get into his bits because this is a non-explicit podcast. But like, you can't take a stand-up comedian, despite whatever has happened up to this point, we cannot live in a world right now where you take a stand-up comedian's material and put it in a magazine article like he called a press conference and is actually saying this stuff. It's a stand-up routine. It is protected speech. It is sacred. And here's the thing. If you don't like the material, if you don't like his stand-up, if he's writing bad material, then guess what? People won't support him. He won't have a career. No big deal. Right. But you can't take a comics routine and then put it in the newspaper like that's what he really thinks about stuff. That's not what stand-up is. And I just was really – I'm not for what he did. I'm not supporting what he did. And he, you know, he definitely came out and apologized, as far as I remember, for whatever it is. Not that he should be – he's lost more from what happened to him than any normal person would ever lose in the same situation.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I actually went this morning and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to take a longer look at this because I was, if I could have gotten tickets, I would have been like, a chance to see Louis C.K., you know, and I'm a
for 30
guy,
bucks
you know,
in Lutz.
30 yeah. bucks, literally. And let's be clear, the fact that it's 5 minutes from my house, a big play on why I would do it.
Absolutely.
Because I could just drive down, then I could pick up some PDQ and come on home.
Yeah.
And, but then I went and Googled, I'm like, there were like five different people who came out. Let me read these stories. I went and read the stories, and while I don't think he deserves to necessarily be picketed and protested, and I do think that he was basically out of work for a year as a result of it. And
lost two TV shows, a movie that they
right,
paid
and,
for,
and
a film
I feel,
that they
so, and I feel the punishment was adequate. At the same time, there's no doubt the guy's got a problem.
No, no doubt. He's
there's
sick
no
and
doubt
he needs
he's got
help.
A problem.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
No doubt he crossed the line several times. I just don't know if we as a society have decided what the ample punishment is for that. So I don't know how long... You know, how long is a person? I don't know, and I wish we could have a discussion more along those lines of what is an ample time to punish somebody for doing something that technically is not against the law. How long should a person be punished for that? I don't know. You know, and that's I think what the big problem is. No one knows exactly how long. You know, a person should be punished.
Definitely being punished.
Oh, yeah. He's and, playing at Side Splitters for 30 bucks a head. And 2 years ago, he would have been at the Tampa. He would have been at the friggin' arena. He sold out Madison Square Garden 8 times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's just say that he's gone down a few pegs.
Yeah.
And he's paying for his sins. No excuse. He should pay for his sins. But, like... Do not go into a stand because you're outraged at something that he did. Don't go to his stand-up and then turn that into an editorial against him because guess what? Go to any blue comic in the world and you put their material and say this is how they feel about stuff. All of them are going to look like a monster. Every single stand-up comic is going to look like a monster if you actually believe that their material is something that they really think.
Well, you know, and a guy like CK has always absolutely been 100% about context.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so, you know, I don't know. After reading about it, I was like, I have two daughters, and if a guy approached one of my daughters and asked
did what he did, yeah.
I'd want that guy to suffer for a long time. So, you know, what the statute of limitations is on how long you're supposed to be punished or how deep that punishment should be. I think that's the real conversation that we need to have.
If Mel Gibson can sit at the front row of the Oscars laughing and yucking it up, then Louis C.K. can play Side Splitters without getting his balls
busted. Yeah, but you know, it was, what, 5-10 years before he got to sit at the front row of the Oscars.
Yeah, but he's a terrible dude, Mel. Like, he's a bad person who happens to be a really great filmmaker. And, you know, and he's just there in a tux doing movies with Mark Wahlberg and laughing with all the celebrities in front of the Oscars. And he's like, I hate all of you and I'm a racist, but at least I'm still famous, you know, like, so I don't, you know, there's, it's
either.
Just, there's a disproportionate response sometimes when somebody's famous, I think, you know, like, cause here's the thing
absolutely.
Is it's not like he could move to Provo and get a job at the Piggly Wiggly and live a quiet life. Like if somebody makes that mistake, they pay for it. They're ostracized in their community. You can move to like, somewhere in the sticks in Montana and live a quiet life and get out of everybody's way, and you've paid your debt or whatever. But this guy will never be able to have completely paid his debt because everybody thinks it's their job to punish him. Like, you want to punish him, just don't buy his stuff.
But to go down that rabbit hole, though, you know, does that then speak also to the fact that if you are in the public eye, you have a greater responsibility to do the right thing because you're in the public eye, because you're a role model, et cetera, vis-a-vis Mr. NFL player, don't beat your wife.
Well, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, is if you're putting somebody up as a role model, but we're talking about a filthy stand-up comic.
Yeah, not exactly a role model.
And we're talking about, like, you know, for some reason, like, believe me, when it comes to holding celebrities accountable, but here's what, when Jameis Winston, the accused rapist and lobster thief, who is basically, I think, one of the biggest scumbags on earth, when he was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from Florida State, I stopped watching the Bucs because I was a Bucs fan. I was a Bucs supporter for years. I'm like, nope, no more. I'm a Dolphins guy now. Screw that. Because I believe that they should hold these guys to a higher standard. But we're talking about professional athletes, and kids are walking around wearing their jerseys at Walmart.
Right.
We're not like, you know, it's all about that perspective, where a stand-up comedian who's an adult 18 and up shows, who your kids shouldn't even know who they are, is a completely different thing.
Yeah, you know Jim Norton, stand-up comedian?
And by the way, if a comedian was beating up his wife and assaulting people, you know, I would feel differently about it. So,
right. You know Jim Norton, stand-up comedian named Jim Norton?
Yeah, bald guy?
Yeah. So incredibly gross and profane that I could not finish his book. And I'm a guy who can take a lot.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what stand-up comedians do. So,
yeah, they're
I didn't mean to go down this whole rabbit hole, but then once you threw his name up, I'm like, oh, by the way, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Literally, I can almost throw a rock and hit this little place that Louis C.K. is going to be performing next week, and there's so much to unpack there. How big he was, how famous he was, how far he's fallen. You know, there's so much. Why is he doing that? But here's another thing.
Because he wants to work.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't need the money. And this is another thing where they say, "Oh, he lost his stuff or whatever. He's rich. Who cares?" If you think that stand-up comedians are doing what they do for the money, you don't understand stand-up comedians.
There have been plenty of stand-up comedians
with
millions of dollars that are miserable human beings.
They don't have a choice. They do it because they simply can't not do it. Which is why he's playing at, you know, the place behind the Piggly Wiggly up here next week. He can't not do it. It's not about the money. Believe
right.
me.
Yeah,
those guys can't. It's part of who they are. So yeah, being told you can't go on stage for a year, whew, when you've gone on stage 2 and 3 times a night, 6 nights a week since you were 18.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, believe it or not, is a punishment.
Yeah, so you know, just take your righteous indignation and use it and put that into how you spend your money, and rather than like putting out bad news stories. Anyway, not to get on that tangent too much, but anyway, hey, I wanted to do something. Speaking of people who can't not do a thing, let's talk about us for a minute.
Oh yeah, there's something new.
Yeah, let's talk about ourselves. I've been wanted to read. There's one of the new reviews on iTunes, because from time to time somebody goes, you know what, I'm going to write a review for the Photobomb podcast on iTunes. So this is from R Feller. And the title of the review is, "I'm writing this review because it counts as community service."
Okay. Well, who did he pull his junk out in front of?
I don't know. It is a refreshing, real life and candid discussion, making this my current favorite photography related podcast, mostly because it's maybe 40% directly about photography and the rest is a series of windows into how two professional photographers live and work. So anyway,
I like that series of windows, maybe that's our new byline. But see, that there's a good byline, a window into how two professional photographers live and work. But see, that's me. I like to know how things work. I like behind the scenes, and I love a podcast that's very much behind the scenes and inside baseball. And that's one of the things we do a lot.
We should just change it to the Inside Baseball Podcast.
Well, that makes me feel good that you feel that way. Thank you. Whatever your name is, I don't really care.
R. Feller.
Thank you.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So now we'll be, welcome to the Photobomb Podcast, a refreshing series of windows into how two professional photographers live and work. But anyway, so there you go. Thanks,
man. And here's a pretty little tree.
So here's what I want to do. I was looking at, and we, you know, we have kind of a cult following, and we really love our listeners. You guys are awesome, yeah. And you're always coming up to us at conferences and supporting us and saying nice things, and we appreciate you. So here's what I want to do. I have been toying around with the idea for the last couple of years that we should be doing like more for our regular listeners, for our loyal listeners, doing like bonus episodes and giveaways and stuff, and I'd really like to do that. And so what I want to do is we have right now 62 reviews on iTunes. We have 62 five-star reviews, 61 five-star reviews, and 1 3-star review. So whoever you are, you can go straight to hell. But
really, we have 1 3-star
review. 1 3-star review.
What would have made us a 5-star, I wonder? What 2 stars are missing?
They probably want us to talk more about photography, I guess. Yeah, so good luck. You're not
good
our
luck
person.
With that.
Or it's one of those people who's like, nothing's perfect. I never
nothing's,
give a perfect
no,
review.
3 stars
as high as I go.
Nothing can be 5 stars. I had that happen at an employee review one time. We had an employee review, and my boss was like, I would give you 5s all the way across, but we're not allowed to give anybody 5s all the way across. And I was like, this is an outrage. I was just upset. I was like, what?
That is the type of thing that would burn your brain up.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm like, you're telling me I can't have a perfect score even if I'm perfect? This whole thing is a sham. I'm out of order. You're out of order.
I said,
this whole court's out of order. You need me on that wall.
I'm
just throwing in the random references now. But yeah, I was like, this whole thing's a sham.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I think makes you more mad than anything else in the world is when there's a rule for no reason.
Yeah.
Like you absolutely, your brain cannot process that. Right. You cannot live that down.
Their reason is it has to be that way because if we give you a perfect score, then you have nothing to work towards. And I'm like, guess what? If I'm doing the best job possible, I shouldn't have anything to work towards.
It is really possible for me to be a perfect employee at
and just
Burger
maintain.
Flipping.
Yes, just maintain perfect employee. Isn't that good enough? I'm perfect employee and I just maintain that. Wouldn't that be great for you? Wouldn't you just be like, guess what? You're perfect. Stay right the way you are, and everything's going to be fine. No. You're perfect, but
so you
need
get
to work
like
harder.
Instead of 5 stars across the board, you get 5 stars in everything, and marked 4 stars for hygiene.
Yeah, we've all.
Like,
yeah,
what
we've
the
always,
hell?
We got to take you down just a little bit of a peg, even if you're the best employee we've got. No, just give me a fair rating. Come on,
because you don't want that to come back on you sometime.
Yeah,
you
know? Mr. 3-star.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I want to do is this. We have 62 current reviews on iTunes right now.
All right.
And so here's what we're going to do. I want us to make a goal to get to 100. So if you've been a listener for a long time and you haven't written us a review, just go in there to iTunes, click the 5-star, the God forbid, the 3-star, whatever you think. And you don't have to write a long review. You don't have to write a review. Just get in there, click on something, and let us know. Give us some feedback on the show. One of my favorites is you could just write, I'm a Believer, which would be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
You know, just give us a little feedback. And if we get to 100 episodes or 100 reviews, if we get to 100 reviews, we're going to start doing extra episodes every time we hit our next review target. And so that would be really good. So stop, hit pause, go over there, give us a quick review on iTunes, and then we'll get to that 100, and then we will do a bonus episode every time we hit a new milestone. So, and that means that you'll get an extra episode of the show like midweek every time we do that. So that would be for you
guys. Let me just unpack this offer. A little bit. Let me just unpack this.
Let's not. First of all, don't ruin it. Blu-ray ruins things. Don't ruin it.
I just want to make sure I understand what the offer is. What you're saying is, to you people who we beg to listen to our show, if you do this thing for us, we're going to give you even more stuff that you have to listen to. This is your reward.
You're not supposed to tell them how it works, Blu-ray.
This is a little bit like, listen to the employee. Listen, if you just knock it out of the park on this project,
I'll give you.
I'm going to pile more projects on top of you. I'm going to give you more projects to do.
If you do a real good job, you get to work extra hours.
Yeah, exactly. It's like being a waiter. If you're the best waiter, we're going to give you the toughest station, and we're going to give you more tables because you're our best waiter.
Well, okay. So first of all, I like to think that our show for certain people is a blessing in their life, and that they enjoy it. There are people who maybe wait for it to come out. They're sad when we miss a week, and so let's give the peoples what they want. And what the peoples want
would
is
this
more
extra
photobomb.
Midweek show. Would there be anything special about this show? Would it would just be a regular show, or would there be any special content?
I think that we should do a special show midweek and have more guests.
More guests, meaning any guests. Because
any guests. Well, we have guests occasionally, but we really just like talking to each other too much to let anybody else interrupt that.
Right.
You know. But yeah,
I reached out to somebody recently to be a guest on the show.
Cool.
Who I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
And I was like, 3 years, I'm going to reach out to this guy. And he wrote back and he said, really not doing anything like that right now. Check back in a year. And there was
okay,
a part of me that
sorry,
was
Dad.
Like,
sorry to bother you, Dad.
Screw that guy. there was a part of me that was just like, screw that guy. It's an hour. Come on, dude. But then I'm like, okay, no, that's fine. You know, but the thing was, it took a lot for me to reach out because I don't like to be that guy who's hey, I don't want to be that guy.
Well,
so
we get emails from time to time for people who want to be on the show and they just want to shill for something or they, you know,
right.
Or they just want to be part of the banter. And it's like, we've been doing this for years. It takes years for us to be able to have these like an hour long uninterrupted conversation that is at least mildly amusing to strangers.
Yes. You know, as horrible as this is, it used to be much worse.
Yeah. We're
that's
getting
so,
less
that's
worse.
So horrible. You listen to this now and you think, well, this is in the formation stage. No, this is fully grown.
Yeah, this is
this
it.
This is mature. This is not. This is not the pupae.
My arm was like this at birth. Like it's just how we are. We're just sort of like a little deficient.
This
and
is,
that's all right.
Is, yeah, this is professionalism, right here. What you're hearing,
professionalism. that's our new byline. It's like it. The Photobomb Podcast, professionalism personified.
Hey, here's a quick question for you and all the folks listening at home. This is out of left field, but I was thinking about this today. If you could change one thing in your house, if you could add or change one room to make it deluxe, home theater, gourmet kitchen, etc., like what's the one thing that you would love to have like in your home? One room, one sort of thing you'd be like, I would like to have this. That would be so cool.
Sex dungeon.
A what? Sex dungeon.
Sex dungeon.
Okay, sex dungeon. Thank you. All right.
But besides Sex Dungeon?
Gary Hughes playing at Side Spitters, Splitters next week for $30 a show.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is for me?
Sex Dungeon.
Shower. Like one of those showers that's got like 6 or 8 nozzles in it. You know, and
different
water,
levels.
And yeah, water pressure and like 3 people can be in there. And I thought I'd have 3 people in there, but just big enough, you know, and it comes from every direction. It's the top and the side.
So you want a shower that fits 3 people?
I'm just saying a big shower because I'm a big guy.
So you know, I'm you just saying, and Bobby and Maggie Mae the puppy.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I used to take my kids in the shower to bathe them when they were young.
It's very efficient.
I'd wear a bathing suit and I would just take them in the shower with the hose there and just hose them down like a dog and shower them up and then take them out because I wasn't doing the on my knees next to the bathtub thing. That was just too painful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That would be my thing. But I have a really good kitchen already, so I guess if people don't have a really good kitchen, maybe kitchen's the first thing. But I would really love a really good shower.
I'm with you on the shower. I think that's a great idea. But I think before I had an opulent, you know, shower of the heathen kings of old, or they didn't shower, never mind. If I had a big opulent shower, that'd be great. However, what I'd really, really like is a music room.
Just for listening to music.
I'd like to have like a station with a computer for podcasting and recording audio and a little mini recording studio and room for all my instruments and stuff. I'd love to have it's almost like a little man cave / music room and love to be able to have that. So as my kids get older and they want to learn to play, like we just have a place where we can make music.
Right.
And I'd love to have a really killer music room. And possibly I'd love to have, if I was going to have anything that was extravagant, I'd really like to have a library, like a big ass 20-foot tall shelves of just books with the ladder that slides back and forth across the wall.
I love the idea of that. But like my father got me a Tom Petty biography hardback for Christmas and it's sitting next to my bed and I don't know what to do with that thing. It's like, what is that? It's a book? Because everything I have is electric. I threw all my books out years ago.
I collect books. I love books.
It's just too much stuff to haul around. It takes up too much space. Everything's electronic now. So everything's there.
What I really like is just the people to come in and look at all the books and go, wow, they must really like to read.
Yeah, you must be smart.
They must be smart. Yeah, which is also not true. But we've got most of the books now in my house are my mother-in-law got us a subscription to like the Disney has books. And so they make little basically if you can think of the little golden books, they're kind of like that. But they have a book for every Disney movie that's ever been made and the Pixar movies. And so you get two or three, I think 3 books a month and they mail you 3 books. And then every month you get 3 more books. So now we have like I think we probably have 60 of these, and we have so many of them that they've run out of the good Disney movies, and we're starting to get like Mulan 2 as a book, and like Pocahontas 2.
You're getting the straight to video books.
Oh, we're getting the books of the straight to video Disney movies now. Like Julie and I are like, we have to cut this off. I'm not gonna, because when Ellie, my 4-year-old, when she gets on a book, she makes you read the book forever, and like every night, and I've read the book version of Lilo and Stitch literally for 3 weeks straight every night. Right. And she's like, Daddy, I want to read Lilo and Stitch. And I go, no, honey. No, I'm not doing it. She goes, please, please, Daddy, leave alone.
I'm Stitch.
She likes it because when I read to her, I do the voices.
Oh, well. And so I bet you're quite the good book reader.
Yeah, I do. Well, I do a really good Mickey Mouse, funny enough. And so she really likes that. And so it's like, hey, Goofy, Pluto, how you guys are doing? Right. Hey, oh, Minnie's my sweetheart.
Listen, that voice is copyrighted, so you better be careful.
Got him. No,
you can't do Mickey on a recording like that because you're going to get in trouble.
Well, if that was too deadly, too it's accurate. Too we're going to have to edit that
it's
out.
Far too accurate. You're going to get in trouble for that.
So
if you're a long-time listener, you get that joke.
Go back and listen to some episodes. So we have loads and loads of books. I'd love a big library. But a big shower would be good too, I think.
The thing about the shower is, unlike even a big kitchen, with a good big shower, you know every day you're going to use it. Every day you're going to get use out of this thing.
Wait,
if you have a gourmet kitchen,
sure? Every day
you don't, and you know. What?
Every day? Shower every day?
I shower every day, Gary. Like a human being.
Oh, yeah, me too.
What are you doing?
Yeah, totally me too. Yep. No, I thought you said grow flowers every day.
No, I shower every day.
Okay.
No, I do not leave my bedroom until I've had a shower.
I'm a normal person. I shower every day.
Yeah, I'm not even the go down to the kitchen and get a cup of coffee in my robe guy. Nope. I come out fully formed.
Like the podcast.
Yes, fully showered and ready to go. Because I have, because of the gel I use in my hair, I have a hair catastrophe that is on a biblical proportions and cannot be seen by human beings. It's horrible. So I have to shower before I leave.
I would love for you to post in the Facebook page a picture of your hair first thing in the morning.
There you go. Oh, no, I mean, it's so – I can't because I know people would screen grab it and use it against me the rest of my life. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Okay, by the way, we're like 30 minutes in. We should mention at least something about a camera or something in here.
I actually have a great story.
I do,
that
too.
I found.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've been looking around always for interesting stories, and usually during the week, if you're a photographer and you're into photography stuff and equipment, something is going to come in your feed most weeks that we have a natural thing to talk about normally, like Pentax puts out a new camera or whatever, something like that. Pentax. But this week, I didn't really see much in the news photography-wise come into my feed, so I go looking, and Huffington Post has a really good photography section on their website. If you knew that, if you go to Huffington Post, I think /photography, they have a whole section just for photography news. And there's this great article, and here's the title. Grandma takes boudoir photos as a Christmas present for Grandpa, and he likes it.
Okay.
So I'm going to post this link out of the page. I'm going to send it to you right now. So that you can look at it alongside me. Let me send that right to you there, boo-boo. So basically, a grandmother decides that she wants to take sexy photos.
It just came up.
Yep.
Okay, this is going. Is this on the Facebook page?
Not yet. It will
be. Facebook page.
And so
that's great.
If you can picture, look at the article. It's a grandma like laying in a bathtub, and not like a cool clawfoot bathtub, like just a regular bathtub that would be in anyone's house. Covered in like yarn for like knitting,
because she loves the knitting,
and she's got her tongue out and she's like licking the end of the knitting needle.
Yes. I like the shot of her legs coming out of the yarn with a cascade of butterscotch candy falling onto her legs because you know Nanny always has butterscotch in her purse.
I mean, I'd like to believe that this isn't being done in a funny way. I'd like to believe that this.
Oh, but it is.
But it is. But man, yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great idea.
And so I'm a big fan of this. We'll post a link to that. You guys will hopefully get a laugh out of it. If you're not if you don't follow the Facebook page, go to facebook.com/photobombpodcast. We post a lot of what we talk about. Articles and stuff will be there. Photos and other interesting stories.
Yeah, it's really the home of the podcast because that's where you can interact the best with people.
Yeah,
because
our website sucks and we're both too lazy to do anything about it.
Well, because no one goes to websites anymore. Facebook has become the new website.
Did we talk about that review about making that list of best photography podcasts? Did we make that on the show?
We talked about, briefly, I think last week, how they misspelled your name.
Yeah, okay. And there was like something about how, oh my God, their website's terrible.
Did it say that?
Yeah. It's like their strange website and then the very odd, like, embedded media player. And it was like, in parentheses, is like, I cannot express enough how disturbing this is. I'm like, okay.
Because no one's going to your website to listen to your podcast.
They're not.
On, you know, on their Google Play or on their Alexa or on their phone.
Well, if we had our stuff together more, we might, you know, put show notes on there or something like that. That would be a good place for you to go. But we don't because, you know, this is a hobby and we're both very busy people.
Yes.
Men of the world, really.
Nobody's going to websites. They're gonna go to the Facebook page where they can talk to us. I think that's where people go. Okay. Right, by the way. Okay. Speaking of camera stuff, there was something in the news I thought that was quite startling, and it was an interview with the CEO of Canon, Fujio Matari. I don't know if it's Matari or Matarai.
God bless you,
Fujio Matari.
God bless you.
He says that the camera market will shrink by almost 50% within the next 2 years. Basically, Canon is admitting that they have lost the war to cell phones. He says that the market is going to shrink, that they are at saturation, basically, with professional and amateur photographers at about 5 to 6 million units, and that the market will hit bottom. And he says that they are going to start focusing more on professional and corporate stuff like surveillance and medical care.
Canon, I think the camera division isn't even close to the biggest thing they got going on.
Right. But I mean, this is a big thing for him to actually come right out and say, yeah, we can't compete against the smartphones and we're just not going to really try and win that fight. We're not going to win that fight. So we're going to cap out at 5 to 6 million units for the professional and amateur photographers who are still buying. But we are going to be shifting more of our energy into other parts of our business and away from trying to be the major player in photography that we have always been. This is huge. I mean, and it's also, you know, also what does it say about Fuji and Sony and how they are the leaders in mirrorless right now? Sony, you know, don't expect Canon to be coming too hard at you, you know, to try and recapture that market. Because he's admitting we've lost that market, as far as Canon is concerned, is not big enough because of the cell phones. The market for cameras is not big enough for us to be putting as much into it as we'd like to.
I just don't know if there's anything terribly surprising about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because really, if you think about it, before smartphones had great cameras in them, you had to buy a camera if you wanted to take pictures and have memories, and now you don't have to. So your average person has very little incentive. However, I disagree in a way that the rise of social media influencers and people who are on YouTube and Instagram, like, I would say they're definitely probably, no inside information at all, but it would probably be a better business decision to focus on, you know, prosumer cameras for social media influencers and stuff like that. Because definitely, not only are cameras not the biggest division at Canon, but because they do like everything from printers and copiers and medical imaging equipment, but professional photographers aren't even the biggest market for cameras, not even close. Like, right. They'll sell 20 Digital Rebels for every one 5D Mark IV they'll sell.
Right. And I think that what they're saying is we're not going to be selling 20 Digital Rebels in 2 years. We're going to be selling 10.
That's crazy because I see them everywhere. DSLRs and like the prosumer cameras, I see them. I go to Disney with my kids and I see a lot. Obviously, you see everybody's on a cell phone, but I see tons and tons of DSLRs, little mirrorless cameras. I still see lots of cameras.
Yeah, but you go. I went to my daughter's choir concert a couple nights ago on Friday. And you go there and you look around that room. And you look at how many people are holding up cameras to take pictures of the choir and how many people are holding up phones.
And you compare
that to 10 years ago.
Every
other person in that room would have had some sort of a camera. And now, no. Now
yeah,
it's like one
you know what
in
really
20.
Hurts is like the camcorder market. The camcorder's
got to die.
Camcorder
market too, as well. So it's, I mean, they were giving awards out to the teachers. They were giving them plaques and everything. And they're coming up again there, and they were taking the pictures with a phone. I was rolling over in my grave, even though I'm not dead, watching them do it. They were taking pictures with a phone of people getting their awards.
Yep.
They couldn't even spring for someone to bring an actual camera.
I think it's true.
I think for the people in that market who are like you said, the majority of their business has been prosumer and amateur, and I think they're realizing that that's just not a market we should even try and go after anymore. We should still go after the pros and the amateurs who want to be pros, but trying to go after the mom and pops is just that's you know there's a graphic with a story that says on Flickr, the photos posted on Flickr, 42% of the photos on Flickr are shot with an iPhone, 27% are shot with a Canon, and 16% are shot with a Nikon.
Hmm.
Yeah. Almost half the photos on Flickr are shot with phones.
That is, I you know, I don't find that hard to believe, and the quality of the images coming off phones is great. Have you ever pulled a raw image off your phone, by the way?
I do believe I have, yeah, because my phone will shoot raw. I mean, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to reach the tipping point? And is it going to take a variable aperture lens built into a phone? I mean, because there are already lots of pro photographers, especially street photographers, who are selling their gear and just saying, I'm shooting with my phone. But the only thing you can't do the phone really is high-speed stuff can be troublesome, and you know they've got to put software in order to get a soft bokeh. Is it bokeh? Yeah, soft bokeh.
It's not easy. Although I think Godox has some stuff. It's not easy to do off-camera lighting either.
Right, off-camera lighting. You know, but again, that is such a niche market for your average consumer.
Right.
So what's it going to take? You know, what's it going to take to be able to have to get a cell phone to the point where I don't want to carry my Fuji anymore? And I'm telling you, if I could shoot at F2 with my cell phone and I could somehow trigger a small flash easily with it that I could attach to it easily for bounce or something, I wouldn't carry my Fuji. I would just carry my cell phone and the flash.
Right along those lines, here's an interesting story I just came across this week. This is one thing I did come across this week and already posted it on the Facebook page. There is the new ads for the iPad Pro. And I put the link is on the Photobomb Facebook page, guys, if you want to head over there. And the new ads for the iPad Pro, there's one in particular. The whole thing was shot and edited on the iPad Pro.
Right.
So basically, you watch the whole commercial, and it's filmed in 4K. They even edited everything and did all the titling and everything. The entire production of a national ad was all done on the iPad Pro.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's an interesting new world.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting to think about what it's going to mean for the industry moving forward, making money in professional photography, you know? So I think that, you know, really think about for the future where that's going to go. And you might have to consider ways to diversify your business to stay viable because, although it's right now, I think the photography business is very good for a lot of people. But when it comes down to certain things, they're going to be automated. They're going to be eliminated. You have headshot booths with automated headshot booths popping up at airports and stuff. I mean, you're going to have really think about what the next move might be, especially if you're, a photographer and you're in let's say the latter half of your career. I don't think you have a lot to worry about. But if you're a new photographer in the industry, if you're in it 4 or 5 years, really start thinking about things to diversify your business. I think video is a big thing. Video and video production is still going to be something that you're going to need, more professional people to do, and even other types of services that you can offer. So, keep that in mind moving forward. I really believe that you got to keep your eyes open for stuff like this, because a shift in the industry could tank certain photographers and certain businesses without, when you have whole newspapers firing their whole staff of photographers and just giving the reporters cell phones, which happened 3 years ago, that happened.
I've seen a lot of people also criticizing Jeff Bezos because they've taken out an ad for the Washington Post during the Super Bowl about journalism and the importance of journalism. And it was $5.5 million for the ad. And people are saying, yeah, how many reporters could you have hired for that $5.5 million? And I think that's a little unfair, to say, oh, so we shouldn't at all advertise because we should just hire reporters.
Yeah, your advertising budget is a little bit different than your payroll, guys.
Yeah, yes, it is. And also, if we hired the reporters with the $5.5 million and we didn't advertise, then 2 or 3 years from now we're out of business. Everybody loses their job. We have to have a business in order to hire reporters, so we have to advertise for the business.
Yeah,
that's the thing that people always scream about. Well, they spend more on advertising. Well, they can't give anyone a job if they don't spend money on advertising. So, I'm glad to see them do it because the Chicago Sun-Times or whatever that fired all their photographers a few years ago and just told the reporters to start shooting with iPhones?
Yeah, I'll find that story.
Yeah, that was a shame. Speaking of, we weren't speaking of it at all, but I do want to make this point. I had a major achievement in my professional life happen very much recently that I wanted to talk about, and it is that my wife, who does online sales, and she sells clothing and jewelry online. And I finally got her into my studio to use professional lighting and softboxes to take her product photos.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
She's been using ring lights and constant lighting.
She's been using a window. In our she has a window, and it's like I have to get up at 5:30 because that's when the light is just right from the window, and I taught her to use a reflector, so the light would come in from the window and then the reflector on the other side, and she would shoot, you know, looking down what they call flat lays, and she would do this, but then she kept complaining, oh, the light's not good today, and I'm like, well, you know, the sun moves as the year, you know, it's not going to come in the window the same way all the time, and she's like, and you know, it sucks, I can only do it in the morning, I can't do it any, and I kept just let me set you up some constant lighting with some softboxes. Well, it doesn't look the same. I'm like, we will work on it, we will make it look the same, but as a photographer it just hurts me that I have a studio upstairs where you could shoot anytime, 24 hours a day, and all of your pictures would look exactly the same if you would just please let me do it. And she was so resistant to it. And then she got into a bind last week and she had to do pictures and it was raining and she couldn't do them. And I was like, she's like, okay, fine. And I set it up and we worked on it a little bit and dialed it in. And now she's like, oh, wow, this is really nice, you know, that I can just go up here anytime I want to and actually shoot. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it though? You remember I texted you. I was like, what? Because you use constant light. I'm like, what constant lighting did you use? And because just looking in case I need to buy some for her. And as it turned out, all I did was I took a big softbox that I already had on my Alien B. And then I had bought on Amazon a 200 or 300 watt LED bulb on Amazon. And I just took the entire bulb element out of that Alien B and replaced the modeling light with this 200 watt LED. And that became a constant light for me. And that's my constant light source. That with a reflector on the other side. And I think it's just two reflectors and that, basically building a box, you know, of light around around what she's doing. But yeah, you can do some constant light stuff if you just go and find like a good 200 or 300 watt LED light and stick it into your current configuration as your modeling light. And a lot of times
that's a good pro tip, actually. That's
yeah, you won't have to take you. A lot of times you have to take the strobe out because those bulbs are pretty big and they won't fit. Like with the Alien B, your modeling light goes into the
circle.
Yeah,
it's a household bulb. Right? Like most of them, it's a household bulb.
It's bigger
light
than that. It's bigger than a household bulb. So you have to take the actual strobe out and then replace it with that. And it's not super bright, but I want to say we're still shooting at maybe 200, 400 ISO. You know, but she's still using her phone. I can't get her to use a camera.
But though for most of what she's doing, I'm sure the phone is fine.
Well, it makes it quicker for her because it's already in the phone, which is where she edits it and does all the stuff, which goes back to what you were saying a minute ago.
Yeah. I have an iPad Pro and I like it. I just hardly ever take it out of the bag unless I'm traveling and I use it to watch Netflix while I'm at the airport or something. But I have the pencil and the whole nine yards and it's really cool, but maybe I'm just stuck in my ways. I need a mouse and keyboard. I'm just more comfortable that way, you know. But yeah, keep an eye on that stuff because if you're not paying attention to mobile technology, you are probably going to go out of business at some point. So, I'm just saying. All right. So, how are we doing? Should we wrap this up?
We should wrap this up. And
before you guys all turn it off, before you turn it off, don't forget, we want to get to that next level of reviews. So just pop on over to iTunes and just leave us a real quick review. We'd love to hear from you. And what that does for us is if we get more reviews over a period of time, it increases our rankings in the store. When people search for photography podcasts, it pushes us up a little higher potentially, which means we get more listeners, which means we grow. We're able to do more stuff, get more sponsors and prizes and giveaways and things like that. So more listeners would be great. And it starts with you guys with those reviews. So if you listen to us for a long time and you've never done it, just take 5 seconds and go over there and give us a rating. We'd appreciate that. Also, it is Super Bowl Sunday today. This is going to come out the day after, but I couldn't care less. So
no, me neither. No.
And so we just want to mention it is Super Bowl Sunday, but I don't care. The only thing I care about is there's a place down the street from my house that has really great wings. And on Super Bowl Sunday, they sell wings really cheap.
Okay. All right.
And I talked to the manager of the bar that I was there on Friday night. And he says, you know, if you run a restaurant, there are different sizes of wings that you can get. Like you can get small, medium, jumbo or whatever. If you're a restaurant, you order wings from a restaurant supply company. And he said what he was going to do is because they order the jumbo wings, they're big, juicy, delicious wings. He said he's going to order a bunch of the small wings. Mm-hmm. And anybody wearing Patriots gear who orders wings is going to get the small ones. And he's going to say, here are your Patriots wings. They've been deflated.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
Right?
Good. Good.
Also coming up in about a week and a half, I will be in Newport News, Virginia for the Virginia Professional Photographers Association Convention. I will be doing a whole day pre-convention class and a platform class during the convention and judging at the print competition. So if you are in North Carolina, South Carolina, Delaware, anywhere, that's Newport News is beautiful and it's a really good drive-up location with a lot of stuff around it. Come and hang out. I would love to see you. So go to vppa.org, I believe is the website, and you can get all the information there. Also, the a direct link to the website is on the Facebook page and on the website, thephotobombpodcast.com. So I'd love to see you there. And then once that's done, we'll start talking about WPPI because that's coming up in just about 3 weeks.
I'll be speaking really at the Tampa Area Professional Photographer Association next Tuesday. That's the 12th of February. And then I will be speaking in Daytona. I don't know what they call their organization over there. It's brand new. And if you're in the Daytona area, you should absolutely come see me there because I will be doing my 5-minute photography class, which is a very popular class with live shooting to show you how to take a picture of anybody, anywhere, anytime in 5 minutes or less. And that will be on May 19th. Yes, May 19th in Daytona. So come over there and see me as well. You can find us online at facebook.com/photobombpodcast or at photobombpodcast.com. You can find Gary at hughesfioretti.com.
Yep.
And you can find me at blueraperry.com. You can send us email questions at photobombpodcast.com. We'll see you back here next week.
See you later.